God, we thank you that you are holy, and because of your Son, Jesus, we become holy. And Father, as we press into you more each day, God, I pray that we would seek your face. We would seek you. We would walk closer with you. And God, I pray that as we journey towards you, Father, that we would just be encouraged, be built up. And Father, we would be a people who would walk more in our gifts. God, once again, we pray for those that aren't able to be with us, Father. We lift them up. We pray that they're encouraged, that they're blessed wherever they are. And Father, that as they join us online today, Father, even though they're not here, that we're still together. So God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. It's been another hot week. We have, it's crazy when you get woken up at 5 o'clock by a bing on your phone from Environment Canada telling you it's a hot weather warning for the city of Saskatoon and an area of Rosetown and stuff. So I think it's going to be warm, which is good. We needed some heat. Our air conditioners are working, so I'm not as hot up here today, so I'll take the heat. It's been a great week. You know, we've had renovations happening at our house and busy things like that happening, and it's been awesome. And I was telling Mary before service, I was like, where's Gary and Michelle? I don't get to bug them today. But Seth's going over to hang out with Gary and Michelle this afternoon, so I'm sure they're busy making him a 6-course meal for lunch or something. Maybe Gary's making fresh biltong. But, you know, it's good that when we can take those long weekends and those chances just to refresh and not feel guilty when we're away and we're taking that time, right? It's important. I know I've been to so many churches, so many places where if somebody's gone for the Sunday, it's like, you're late for school, you don't get that exemption from the final exam, you get the tardy slip or whatever it is. And we're not about that. We're about just enjoying each other's company when we're together, and about when we're apart, enjoying time with our family or just relaxing and having fun, right? Because that's what it's about. And as long as we're pressing in each day with God, this is just a chance as a huddle, you know, to encourage each other, to build each other up. But we can do that by phone. We can do that by many different ways, which is maybe your gift, right? So in saying that, we're on our series of Where Is Your Gift? And we're in the series of reaching out. I guess reaching out is really the series, but I could have just called the whole series Where Is Your Gift? And we're talking today about healings, miracles, and faith. And it's an interesting topic to talk about. And you know, as we've walked through this series of reaching out, we started talking about giving, increasing, succeeding, and prospering. And we talked about how the church, according to the New Testament, the role of the church, the job of the church is to equip the saints for the work of your ministry, right? Not for me to get my pat on the back, not for me to build Dave's ministry, Dave's church. That's not what it's about. It's about equipping you guys, encouraging you guys, walking through things with you guys so that you can do your ministry. And every one of us is a minister of the gospel. Every one of us, our ministry is to go out and minister the gospel in our areas of our giftings. We need people we know in areas that are influential in business, influential in the medical profession, influential in politics, in education, in arts, in music, in movies, right? We need believers in all these different areas, all these facets of life, all the areas that influence the world around us. We need Christians there. But more than just needing Christians there, we need gifted Christian leaders. We need new covenant believers to step forward and to start taking a leadership role and not just sitting by idly waiting. And we need to do what Jesus said, and that is to occupy until he comes back and not just hide in our corner, sucking our thumbs, waiting for Jesus to come back. But we need to advance the kingdom of God. We need to take ground for the kingdom, and we need to to walk in the blessings that have been given to us and all these things that we have already, and we need to walk forward and step them out. We're talking about reaching out, and the best way we can do that is to use our gifts. And I want this, and I've said this every week, I want this to be a season of growth for us. Not just, I don't want to see just butts in the seats, but I want to see us growing spiritually, growing in ways that we have not experienced in our life, and just growing in our gifts, utilizing our gifts, and using it to build the kingdom of God here in Rosetown and in our province of Saskatchewan. We can make an impact. We can't just be a people that just show up on Sundays and go home and hide and read the newspaper and talk about how bad it is out there. We need to be people who act. We need to be hearers of what God has for us. We need to be doers of what God has called us to do. So we started talking about this whole idea of things like prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, and what they some call as the fivefold ministry. And then we talked about leadership and administration. And then last week we talked about words of wisdom and words of knowledge and what that means and how to utilize that in your life if that's a gifting that you have. And this week we're going to talk about a gifting that I believe that all new covenant believers have, and that is faith. And then we can talk about gifts of healings, because it's not a gift of a healing, it's a gift of healings. There's a difference. And then we're going to talk about miracles. And they all go kind of hand in hand. I don't know why I did that. That doesn't. Hand in hand. They all go hand in hand. They all work together. And as we continue on, we're going to continue talking about things in the coming weeks, like intercession, craftsmanship, hospitality, exhortation, and other gifts, okay? So we're not done yet. We've got a few more weeks of this, and we're going to wrap up the week before the long weekend talking about this. So while we're here, I haven't talked to Elaine and Lyle yet, so surprise. But not next week, but the week after, we're going to do another barbecue. We had so much fun the first time, right? And so we're going to do another barbecue, so I'll talk to Elaine and we'll get it sorted out. I forgot to tell you the other day. But it's going to be fun. We had a great time, so if you're watching online, joining us online, come join us in person. We'd love to have you. We'd love to cook some burgers and some hot dogs and just hang out, have a good visit, and eat some fantastic foods. So I got a couple scriptures I want to start with, okay? And we're going to start with 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. And it says this. Oh, I apologize if I missed a line, because when I did it on my computer at home, I usually leave it, and I think I missed some words, but that's okay. You'll get the gist of it when I read it to you. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another works and working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." And then we're going to read Acts 9:32 to 43 here. This one might be easier. Maybe. I think I did it. "Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Ananias, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, 'Ananias, Jesus the Christ heals you. arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately, so all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated, this is my favorite name in the whole Bible, to Dorcas. I don't know why. I was excited to... I told Stacy that yesterday. She laughed at me. Shook her head and laughed, actually. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, exploring him to not delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went to them. And when he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed and turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. So gifts of healings. What is the gifts of healings? And you know, as I said earlier, many people just call it gift of healings or gift of healing. And that's actually not correct. It's the gift of healings. And we can talk more. We can talk more about that if you have questions about what is the big difference. But I want to say right now, you don't have the gift of healing. You have the gift of healings. Okay, and there is a big difference in perspective and perception. So the gift of healings is the divine strength to step out as an intermediary in faith, prayer, and by the laying on of hands for the healing of physical, mental, and spiritual sickness. Those with the gift of healings demonstrate not only a genuine sensitivity to those who are suffering, but also an unshakable belief that God desires to bring restoration and healing to those in need. They have an unwavering belief in God's power through the Holy Spirit to bring about this healing to all types of sickness and disease. And God enables them to pray and lay hands on or speak words that God moves through to bring supernatural healing to the individual. Now, when we pray as believers, as new covenant believers, as a new covenant church, we pray and we believe that we will see a healing because it has already been received through the work on the cross, right? This is a little different. This is somebody that has this gift specifically. And if you have this gift, some things that you should be leaning on and pushing into. So you need to stand in your deep belief of God's compassion and power. It's important, huge. You need to be merciful and empathetic to those who are struggling with sickness and pain. You need to know how to communicate. When somebody's struggling through a disease, it's not just you big dummy. You know, if you just prayed, you'd be better. That's not how we approach. We can't approach things like that. We need to empathize. We need to be merciful. We need to have dialogue. We need to explain clearly what has actually been done through the cross, and we need to explain clearly what is available for the healing. And we need to share insight that God gives you into things like concerning healings. We need to pray with faith and encourage others to join us. You don't want to be a lone ranger, but you want people to come into agreement with the healing that's been given. We watched that movie before about the mom that her son fell through the ice. Do you guys remember that movie? I'm trying to remember what it's called. Breakthrough. Thanks. My kids remember things better than I. And the poor kid fell through the ice. Actually, three kids fell through the ice, and one didn't come back up, right? And the kid was basically dead. They said, no chance, you know, sorry. And the mom said, I believe. And if you don't believe, if anybody in this room doesn't believe, please leave. But if you believe with your whole heart, stay with me. And let's pray. And some people, I'm sure, left. They don't show that in the movie, but I'm certain some people are like, this woman's a little loony. So they probably left. And I know for our own situation, about 2 weeks before my dad passed away, and they had said, does he have a do not resuscitate? Right? And my mom couldn't see my dad. He was in the hospital in intensive care. And she's like, what's going on? Like, how bad is this? And so my mom calls us, and she's crying, and we're talking this through. And I said, well, Mom, we were going to pray. If you're willing to believe us with your full heart and stand on this with us, join us in prayer. But otherwise, don't pray, Mom. Don't ask somebody else to pray. We need to believe in a certain way. We need to come in alignment. And you know what? And I'm not saying anything special about us, but we also know how we need to pray as believers. And so we said, Mom, if this is where you're at, then join us in prayer. And she's like, yeah, I believe, and I'm standing with you with this. And my dad got better. He got out of the hospital. And he saw improvements. And I know it's because when you stand on prayer and you don't have unbelief in your heart, things happen. So that's the gift of healings. And as we've done before, I'm just giving you guys the high level, Cole's notes, of things to press into, things to kind of be cautious of, and then things that we can understand. Did I say stay away, things that we need to stay away from yet? No, oh, that's why you're all looking at me like I'm nuts. So if this is, well, you might be looking at me like I was nuts regardless. But if this is an area you feel is your gift, let's stay away from these things. Don't walk away from those who do not receive healing without connecting with them. If you're praying for someone and they're just not fully standing in that healing yet, or if they have some doubt, take that time to talk to them about it. Explain it to them. Walk with them. Journey with them. We can't just cast them aside as if they're the leper or not. You're unclean. Sorry. Stay away. But we need to walk with them and journey with them and explain to them and take time to teach. Teach that the healing has already been given through that work on the cross that we said a few moments ago. And don't allow your gift to create pride or arrogance in your life. And the other thing I think is so critical is don't shy away from praying for healing in situations where the cost is high. Where the cost is high, we should be pressing in and stepping in even harder. Where there's an opportunity to show the power of God. This isn't to show your power. Well, I'm a pretty good prayer, so let's get in this, right? That's not what it's about. It's about showing the power. That's why the gift of healings is there, is to show the mighty power of Jesus and the work of the cross, the power of God, and the authority that he has given. That's what it's for. Now we'll jump to the miracles, which is very close. And so miracles is this God-given gift through men and women of God to administer deeds beyond human ability by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's very close. And whether this is through prayer, faith, or divine direction, the person with the gift of miracles stands as a vessel of God's miraculous power. It's about God and his power. Not about what I can do. Not about, look, let me show you this neat party trick. Quick, slam your door in the arm and let's break it and let's see what happens when we pray for it. That's not what this is about. This is about showing the power of God. And the gift of miracles is a divine ability to point people to Jesus. His power, his authority through supernatural acts. This is an amazing, amazing gift. When utilized correctly and when it points to Jesus and doesn't point to me. Often those that the Lord uses to move in this way, this gift of miracles, is given a message to share with those who experience the miracle, pointing them back to Jesus. You get the special message sometimes that will help point the direction, point the talk, point the opportunity to the Lord. It's critical. And if you have this gift, some areas that you should maybe be leaning into is being bold. I want to pause there for a second. Have you noticed that if we have these gifts, any of these gifts we've talked about today, or today, this month, this series, whatever, boldness is an often a thing that we need to lean into. It's important. Boldness is necessary when God calls you to step out and do something. Because our first reaction as people is oftentimes to just kind of shy away. I'm a little scared. What if this doesn't work? What if this? What if that? You know, there's all sorts of ways you can approach this. But we need to be bold and walk in that authority that Christ has given us. You need to remain steeped in Scripture. You need to show and share an unquestioning faith in God. Like I said earlier about that movie and that mom, right? And there was an unquestioning trust, an unquestioning faith that Jesus will heal her son. And I've seen this, I'm sure you guys have seen, unquestioning times, or a time where you're, sorry, when you're pressing in and praying for a miracle, praying in for healing, and you have to walk in with this unquestioning faith that the healing is done, and you will see the manifestation of it. And it's important that you do. You need to step out and invite others to stand with you as you pray for the miracle. Once again, this is not about you just going in and being a lone ranger, but it's about inviting others to join you in this journey of faith and building faith and inviting them to come alongside to be part of this miraculous work that Jesus has done. And I think for me, part of it comes down to that side, because when it's not just me there praying for this guy, I can't be like, oh, good prayer, Dave. But it's like we did this together through our faith together in Jesus. And I think it's critical. Now, if this is somewhere where you're gifting my lie, you want some points to stay away from, right? Once again, avoid spiritual pride. Boy, spiritual pride is a big thing in our lives as believers. And we need to be cautious of it. We need to be cognizant of it. And we need to be humble yet bold. We need to avoid seeing your faith or your spiritual gift as superior to others. We need to avoid standing alone in your gift. Once again, this goes along with the inviting people. We need to invite people to come alongside. We need to invite people to join us in the journey of as we grow our faith, as we do the ministry that we have been called to do as believers, as a new covenant church. We need to We need to not neglect the opportunity to share the message of the gospel. We need to take the opportunity when we are praying for somebody and we see the miraculous, we need to take that time to share the gospel. Just so I'm clear. We need to not be timid or quiet about our steps of faith and things that we feel and believe that Christ has revealed to us. And we need to not forget the purpose of the miracle and who it was meant for. Too often, once again, I believe too many of us hide our giftings. Too many of us, if we don't know it, we don't know things that we can press into and step into. We need to step into it. And lastly, the gift of faith. The gift of faith is a divinely given belief that God is able and willing and has already completed miraculous things on earth. And it's up to us to step it through. It's up to us to call it into being, into a situation. Those of us that are operating this gift of faith, and I pray that it's all of us, actually. It should be all of us. It shouldn't be, well, you have faith for me, and I'm just going to sit over here in Doubters Anonymous. You know? But we need to, those of us that are operating with this gift of faith, believe in the Lord for unforeseen supernatural results, things like healings, things like the miraculous. In every arena of our life, in every area of our life, we should be standing with faith everywhere. Your finances, you should be standing in faith, right? Your companies, your whatever, your house, our house sale right now, we're standing in faith that our house is sold in Lloyd. It was sold once, then it went back on the market. So Stacy and her dad went and made it look shiny and new on the inside again last weekend, and now it's for sale again. And we've had showings; people love it. We're just we're waiting for the final bill or the final offer letter to come so we can sell it and be done. We know it's done, and that's how we have to be standing in our lives in every situation. The gift of faith is often found in those who God has called to trust Him in many adverse circumstances. Well, life is an adverse circumstance, and we are called to excel at life. We're called to do it well. And I believe that every New Testament Christian is called to have this gift of faith. I believe that each and every one of us in this church is called to have this gift of faith. Those with the gift of faith don't stare at obstacles and challenges and say, oh boy, they're big. Oh boy, how are we going to do it? That's not how we act. That's not how we're called to act, right? When we see obstacles, we see it as an opportunity for God to move mightily in our lives, in our situation, in our community, in whatever condition we're coming before. We don't see it as that, oh, how are we going to get there? Oh boy, that's a tall hill to climb. We see it as, let's go, God. Let's get after it, right? It's for God's name's sake. It's for His glory. The gift of faith is so much more than optimism or hope. It's not hope. It is connected to God's desire to move. It's connected to His desire to move in supernatural ways and to intervene in difficult situations or impossible situations or just situations. It is that desire to see Him move and the belief that He will move through the impossible. The more impossible the situation, I believe it's the greater opportunity to show His goodness. And we can stand on that and allow our faith to grow and rise up through that. The gift of faith is the ability to look at that mountain and speak to it, look at that disaster and speak to it, look at that sickness and speak to it, and see hope and see God's power preparing you to speak and allow His name to be glorified and magnified above all other. We far too often build up the name of things like cancer, COVID, this, financial ruin, death. We allow that to have more power, more authority than the name of God in our life. And why do we do that? Because we're not standing on our faith. Because we're scared. That's why I did it anyway. As I've grown and as I've developed my faith over the years and I'm continuing to do that, it's not like I'm here. You suckers. That's not how it is. It's, guys, like, let's continue to grow together and let's continue to step it through together because I believe there is so much more for us. And as we walk and as we journey together, it's something we do together. It's not alone. And as you're journeying through and as you're walking through your faith and growing your faith and your gift of faith, things that we should be leaning into is developing this deep commitment to Scripture. We should be spending time in the Word. How many times have I said that this year? Lots, right? Multiple times on Sundays. We need to know the Word. And it's not for... Kat and I were talking this morning. Sorry, Kat. But Kat and I were talking this morning, and she said, somewhere in the Bible, I know I've read it. We don't have to say, well, it's 1 John chapter 3, verse 4b. Actually, it's the second half of that verse. You'll, when you look it up, you'll know because I know. No, but it's in the Bible, and it tells us this. That's the knowledge because it just comes out of us. It doesn't need to be, well, it's, you know, 1 John. That's embarrassing. But it's not like we have to know, like it's Acts chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. No, we know it's in His Word because it's implanted and impressed on our heart. And when it's in our heart and when it's implanted and impressed and it's growing in our heart, we can speak the Word. Can't we? We know it's in there and we can stand on it by faith. We can be resilient and vocal in your faith. That's something you should lean into if this is you, which I pray it is. We can share and encourage with others in their faith as you walk boldly through yours. You can share with others the things that God is doing. It's not bragging. It's telling the good work that Jesus has done in your life. It's telling them about the healing that you've seen. It's telling others about the blessings that you've experienced. It's telling others how, you know what, you don't know how you couldn't rub two nickels together, but all of a sudden God has blessed you and now you can bless others. Right? And you need to take that opportunity. It's not bragging about how much money you have. It's telling people, look what Jesus has done with me. And he can do the same with you. We need to share and encourage those stories. We need to live unquestioning in our faith, in our lives, sorry, with God. And I'd say, this is a classic, okay? And it bugs me, and we talk about it with people all the time, but I don't know why God made this person sick. God didn't make that person sick. Stop questioning that way. That's not God. God is not a death dealer. He's not here to make people sick. He is here to bring life and bring it to the fullest. We need to call out the faith in others. So when we're telling someone about the faith and our faith and what God has done in our lives, we use it as a teaching moment. We need to call out faith and blessings in people's life and allow them to act on it. But we can be the catalyst that helps encourage them to walk in their faith. We need to pray and we need to proclaim bold prayers. When we talked about this a while ago, we talked about how when we are asking God for something, where it's not a pleading, we're not, please, Jesus, just give me this. But we're actually declaring. That's the word that it is. It's declaring. We're proclaiming over our life that which has already been given. We're not begging. We're not coming up and, please, Dad, just let me have some more bubble gum. That's not what it's like. Please, Dad, just let me have that can of Pepsi. Because nobody wants Coke. I just like the bottles. Just teasing. But we are not begging or pleading, but we're declaring over a situation that which is given. That should have been an amen. Because that's important for us to know. And I don't want to arbitrary man. I mean, that's where we stand. That's what we should be standing on, is the fact that he has already given it to us. That's a critical piece to understand. And as we walk through our faith, some things we need to maybe stay away from. We need to be cognizant and conscious that we're not insensitive to others going through difficulties. Not everybody's in the same spot in their journey. So we need to be sure that we are not pointing fingers and saying, oh, you little faith person, come on, get real. But we need to walk and we need to journey and we need to take the opportunity to share the word and teach in a loving, kind, sensitive way. It's important, because otherwise you just look cocky and arrogant. Don't allow your faith to become a source of pride. Look at all this faith I have, you know what I mean? Don't allow that to be a source of pride. We can be full of faith. We can be so bold. We can know the word and we can speak it over our lives. We can walk confidently, but not prideful. There's a difference. And we need to learn to walk right on that line. We need to be as bold and as confident as we possibly can. And I'm going to invite Mary up as I say my last thing. Don't see your faith as a platform for you. Once again, it's all about God. It's all about sharing his good name, his great name. It's all about sharing the things that are available, not just for you, me, not just for you, but for everyone when they walk according to what he has said in his word. When we start walking in the promises of his word, when we start believing on the promises of his word, when we start believing on Jesus, When we start walking it out, that's when we can start experiencing the things of His Word. And we can start living a, I don't want to say the good life, but the good life. There's a good life when you're walking with Jesus and when you're walking according to His promises and when you're walking in His blessings. And you know what? I've had people say, well, then why does God let things happen to believers? God doesn't. God walks with you. You make choices, and things happen. But don't ever think that Jesus brings heartache and pain. When you walk with God, when you walk with Jesus, He brings blessings and promises. The complete opposite. He brings life, not death. And we need to be confident to walk with that. Like when I was just talking about our house and the sale, and you guys know we've been asking for the sale, we've been walking through it, and we thought it was sold. But it's not. And then it's up for sale again. And I could be sitting here freaking out and panicking. But I think this is probably the most peace Stacy and I have felt about our house. We're fully confident that it's sold. And we're praying and we're walking through and we're excited to share the testimony when it's finally completed. We've signed on the dotted line, sold. We know it's sold, but it's not. We haven't signed the paper yet. We're excited to share that testimony because it's good. And we're so excited and we're so happy. And we were walking in the blessings that He has given us. And we're, you know, we couldn't be happier. And that's the thing, is it's perspective, right? When you're sitting there and you're looking at whatever the situation might be, and you start looking at the situation rather than looking to God, boy, when you look to God, it gets that much easier. It gets that much clearer, doesn't it? And I encourage you, whatever situation is, to allow your gift of faith to walk you along and allow you to step it out. Because you have a gift that most others don't. Would you stand with me? Father God, we thank You. God, we love You that You love us first, but we still love You so much, God. God, we are thankful for Your goodness. God, we are thankful for these gifts that You give us. God, for this gift of faith that You want to pour out into each and every person that is watching or that is here. Father, I pray that we would be a people that stand and walk out our faith. And God, for those of us that have the gift of healings or the gift of miracles, God, I pray that we would step those out through our faith. That we would take those gifts that You've given us and use it to grow Your name, to share Your love, Your compassion with everybody that we come in contact with. Father, I pray for those that have those gifts right now, Jesus, that we would have our eyes open to those that need prayer for those situations. God, whether it be a physical healing, an emotional healing, a spiritual healing, God, I pray that we would step in with wisdom and knowledge, Father, and that we would step into that and pray and with full confidence and belief, and that we would be able to teach that so that we can talk to them about it and we can speak it out with them. God, I thank You for those in this church that have these gifts. And God, I thank You that You've given us boldness to walk out whatever gifts You have given us. And God, as we continue to walk through these, Father, I pray that You would open up our mind to what You have for us and to our giftings, God, and I pray that we would be bold about them. God, for those that are watching at home, Father, I pray that their hearts would be stirred, Father, and they would be a people that would walk them out as well. That we would be a people chasing after You to tell others about You and Your great name and Your good works that You've done. So God, I pray right now, Father, for Your blessings that You pour out on each and every one of us, for Your goodness. And God, right now we pray for Nathan as he's out combining, God. Father, when everybody around us has spoken drought, Father, we pray for full seeds, full pods, or whatever you call them. I just pray for fullness into that plant, God, and that, Father, it will still be a good return. When everybody's speaking doubt and despair and lack, Father, that there would be no lack there, but it would be a full crop. And God, as people are going to be wrapping up, starting harvest and then wrapping up fast because they're saying, oh, there's nothing there, Father, that Nathan's going to have to work longer, which is not something we normally pray for, but in this case, we pray that there will be more there to harvest than he ever thought and anybody thought, and that your blessings would just pour out onto that farm. And God, as a church, we stand with this family. They're our family. And God, we pray for just blessings on that farm and on the family. And we pray for blessings on every family that's here today. Father, I pray that we would walk in the miraculous. Because we are a people who chase after you. We want to know you. So God, we thank you. Bless us this week. Lead us and guide us and give us opportunities to share your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Have a great week.